Thank you, Steve. 207, John Williams in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Ave.
I don't know if this sends a message. North Korea is a problem. The problem will be taken care of.
207.
Lord have mercy.
Lord have mercy. Our numbers in the news. Current events quiz at 240. You listen to GN, you pay attention to the news. We've got a little current events quiz we like to play, and we'll do that around 2:40 here on the John Williams Show. Steve Bertrand just had one quick question that I should know the answer to, but I don't. Maybe you do. When did they start throwing the ball back onto the field after a home run at Wrigley Field? He just saw a replay of a home run hit by an opposing team 27 years ago, and the fans threw it back. How long has that, speaking of Cubs traditions, we started the show with that, how long has that been going on? How long have they been throwing the ball back? I wonder if there was some great game where some painful home run was hit into the stands and somebody said, I don't want this, it hurts too much. They threw it back. It became the tradition. I don't know. Maybe you do. Maybe Emma Ashford knows. Hey, Emma, why don't you just talk a little baseball with me for a second first. Emma, do you know when they started throwing the ball back onto the field at Wrigley Field?
I'm afraid I don't know that much about baseball.
Well, that's not why I called you, so you really don't have to know that much about baseball. Welcome back to the show, Emma. I appreciate you giving us some of your time this afternoon. Emma Ashford is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. So we called her to talk to us a little bit about North Korea, about what's happening in Washington, D.C., and what's happening in the world. Here's just one quick note. President Trump hit the golf course Friday as he and his aides braced for what North Korea calls a big event, possibly some kind of nuclear test. Administration officials have said they're hopeful that China can dissuade its communist neighbor North Korea from conducting a nuclear explosion or a missile test. Meanwhile, the North Koreans have accused Trump of fomenting tensions in the region with tactics that range from aggressive tweets to this week's movements of a U.S. strike carrier group into the region. We will go to war if they choose, said their foreign minister. Kim Jong-un's government has pledged, quote, a big and important event for tomorrow. It'll be the 105th anniversary or birthday of the country's founder, Kim Il-sung, the current president's grandfather. In recent years, it has marked the date with rockets and missile tests. U.S. officials said they suspect that North Korea is planning another underground nuclear test. That's about as much as I know. What would you add to that to start, Emma?
Well, the situation seems to be, I don't want to say spiraling out of control, but the tensions are higher than we have seen them in a very long time on the Korean Peninsula. And it doesn't seem to be being helped by President Trump's very, I guess, assertive approach to this, redirecting that carrier group towards the Korean Peninsula, talking big on Twitter about how we might do something. And just last night, there was a leak to NBC News from, I believe, anonymous intel officials that said that the U.S. was considering some kind of decapitation strike or response if North Korea tests a nuclear weapon. So this is all very concerning because it could lead to conflict.
Well, is it necessary? Maybe it is, right? I mean, if North Korea does have nukes, and it sounds like they do, maybe as many as five, if they have ICBMs, which could deliver them farther than just to South Korea, maybe it's about time we started to assert ourselves in that region.
There's certainly something to be said for that. Previous administrations have kicked this can down the road for a very long time. And right now, what the situation is that the North Koreans almost definitely have nuclear weapons. They've tested them. We're pretty sure of that. They have shorter-range missiles they can probably deliver them with, but they don't yet seem to have an ICBM that would let them actually reach the United States. And so stopping them before they get to that stage should be a major goal of U.S. foreign policy. But I think it's pretty questionable if what Trump is doing right now is actually going to stop that.
Why are we at odds with North Korea? Have they done anything to us, per se?
Well, there was the Korean War, which has technically never ended. There are still thousands, tens of thousands of American troops sitting in South Korea near the demilitarized zone with North Korea. And so this is a conflict that has been going on for a very long time, but it's basically been at a stalemate since the, 1960s. But the situation that we're in now is North Korea isn't really a threat to the U.S. today, but if it develops an ICBM, it has the potential to be a threat. And so U.S. policymakers do need to do something, but it seems like more sanctions or diplomatic approaches are probably going to be more useful than this kind of saber rattling, which actually could end up causing the very conflict we're trying to prevent.
You know, I mean, to me, it sounds like an unstable government or country. No, none of us are fans of North Korea or Kim Jong-un. But at the end of the day, I think if you ask me to characterize the countries that we should worry about, the only reason I would put North Korea on that list is because of the instability of Kim Jong-un. We're not in a big trade war with them. I mean, you know, we've normalized relations with Vietnam, for crying out loud, in Japan. So I would imagine that the Korean War in our background is not the sort of thing that means we have to still be hostile with them over, right?
Oh, no, that is not the problem. The problem over many years has been North Korea's kind of intransigence and continuing to test missiles and setting up their nuclear program, all of these steps that they're taking, and their open hostility to basically everyone around them except China. What's interesting is that the North Koreans do have legitimate security concerns, and they're looking around the world. They looked at what happened in Iraq, they looked at what happened in Libya, and they see that actually having nuclear weapons might be the best way to stop the U.S. taking action against you in the future. So if you're a murderous dictator like Kim Jong-un, having nuclear weapons is a pretty good hedge to keep your power.
Yeah, that answers my question, I think, a little bit better. But, you know, Russia has nukes and China has nukes, and Lord knows we have problems with them, but we don't think that they will irrationally use them. Maybe that's the difference. We worry that this knucklehead might just, for whatever reason, launch them.
The danger isn't so much that North Korea will irrationally use these weapons. I don't really think there's any country with nuclear weapons where the leader is irrational enough to start using nuclear weapons first. The problem is when you get in a situation where tensions rise, things start to escalate, the pressure is on for one state or the other to make the first move because they benefit from doing so, and you end up in a conflict situation without meaning to get there. And that's how a lot of wars in history have started.
Yeah, right.
So the potential is real.
And, you know, and so then the question becomes, okay, so then what do you do about that? You know, do you backpedal a little bit, or because this guy's a knucklehead, you know, maybe you don't push him too much, or maybe you do. I would hate to have to make that call. What are the options then for the United States? So we've put this carrier strike force closer to North Korea. What are the options for the president, Emma?
Well, there are the military options, but they're very bad options. The decapitation strike option that was sort of leaked to some of the press a couple of weeks ago, that's the idea that you send in something like SEAL Team 6 and they try and, you know, kill Kim Jong-un and his senior leaders before they can retaliate. That's an incredibly risky strategy to do that. And other than that, there really aren't very many options. You could, I suppose, make some kind of targeted strike in the hopes that that would deter the North Koreans. But typically, the North Koreans haven't really responded well to that kind of thing. They always escalate when we try and approach them. And the only thing that leaves is the diplomacy option. And that's actually the best option here, is sitting down, getting back to the table in some sort of multilateral process with the Chinese, the Russians, the North and South Koreans, and actually trying to come to an agreement where, even if they don't give up their nuclear weapons, they at least stop developing more and stop developing an ICBM.
I wonder what the president means, or what he could do, when he says, if China doesn't help, we'll do it by ourselves. I wonder what do it by ourselves could even mean.
And this, I think, is the concern with Donald Trump's foreign policy on this and on many other issues. It's not clear. He could be talking big to try and encourage the Chinese leadership to take more of a hard stance on North Korea in the hopes that'll work. Alternately, he could just mean that he intends to take unilateral action, and we probably won't know until he's done it, if the last couple of weeks are anything to go by.
Is something like what happened in Syria an option with North Korea? Find out where the base is or the missiles are, or I don't know if you want to bomb plutonium, but, you know, do something with Tomahawk missiles to take out their capacity to use nuclear weapons.
So all of these military strike options, whether it's sending in people or using missiles or bombers or whatever else, they all have the same problem, which is you need to be sure that your intelligence is good enough to make sure that you have got all of it. And that is a really tough problem, particularly against a country like North Korea that is so closed, so difficult to get into, so difficult for information to get out of. So you would have to basically bet that you get it all in that strike. Otherwise, again, you start some kind of a bigger conflict. And so this is a real concern.
And that'd be an act of war. I mean, you know, do we want to launch the first strike in a war with North Korea? And then who knows who joins in on something like that? I mean, that's crazy. Okay, that's a bad idea. Never mind that. Take that one off the table. Don't do that. But one last thing. What about economic sanctions? I mean, could the United States and China make it more difficult for them to get oil or anything else?
Well, this is where China comes into the equation. And the U.S. has already done pretty much everything we can on the sanctions front. There's no trade with North Korea. Most of our allies don't trade with North Korea. But the Chinese still do. The Chinese sell natural resources to North Korea. They buy things from North Korea. If the Chinese really wanted to come down hard on the North Koreans, they could. But they don't. And one reason is those U.S. troops that I mentioned earlier, the ones in South Korea. The Chinese are scared that if North Korea collapses, if they put too much pressure on it, they might be stuck with a unified Korea on their border with a bunch of U.S. troops there. So our presence in South Korea makes this whole thing more difficult as well.
Lastly, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
I think the North Koreans will do something. Now, it could be a nuclear test. It could equally be that they parade a new missile down the street in Pyongyang. You know, they're very unpredictable. But as to what Donald Trump will do in response, I'm afraid I don't have any idea. And again, I think that's something that we really should all be very concerned about with this administration's foreign policy. It should be more easy for us to discern what he's going to do in these very difficult conflict-based situations.
Emma Ashford is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. Nice to talk to you, Emma. We appreciate you joining us today.